Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Between the boy David's defeat of Goliath, which we heard last Sunday, and this episode with Mephibosheth, David marries several wives, he's hated and hunted by King Saul, becomes a battle-hardened warrior, and secures the throne as Israel's second king. It's a very turbulent period that doesn't sound much like the kingdom of God proclaimed in the New Testament. Yet here in 2 Samuel, we have a compelling picture of royal kindness and love. The word kindness in Hebrew is chesed. I've referred to this before, the faithful love of God. In his treatment of Mephibosheth, we see an example of faithful love. Mephibosheth was from the enemy family, King Saul's family. Yet David invites him to return from his exile in Lodabar and come home to Jerusalem. David provides land and labor to make it productive. He offers this disabled descendant of Saul a standing invitation to the king's table. Come and eat. From this day forward, every meal will be a sign of faithful love between the king and the least member of Israel. That's how it is with us and our God. Our God, all-powerful and worthy of all praise, seeks us wherever we are exiled. Just as King David knows Mephibosheth's name, it's used seven times in that scripture passage, it's the very first word on King David's lips. God knows us by name. And even if we're afraid that our past will be reason for God's judgment to destroy us, the word of faithful love is do not be afraid. Rather than leaving us in exile in Lodabar, God draws close. God brings us home. In this story of King David's capital city, Jerusalem, it becomes a home for the displaced and disabled. The hatred between Saul's family and David's family is forgiven. This outbreak of love, security, and peace is good news. And as with David and Mephibosheth, so with us and God. We too have a standing invitation for daily communion with our God. So we have this basic analogy between David's love toward Mephibosheth and God's love for us. We should take this to heart, especially if we're kind of on the outs with God. For us, for all people, God makes a standing invitation. Come home. There is enough love for you. The brokenness in our lives does not invalidate God's invitation. Let God's word of love dwell in you richly. Let me read you something about this kind of faithful love. The Hebrew word chesed, narrowly translated as love, is a large word. No single word in our language is adequate to translate it, so we revert to the use of adjectives: steadfast love, loyal love, covenant love. What we're after is an understanding that retains the affection and desire and intimacy that commonly go with love as we experience it as parents and children, lovers and friends, but deepened with the stability, dependability, unswerving commitment, and steady reliability that we so commonly find wanting in ourselves and others. Chesed is often used in the biblical revelation to designate God's love. But we humans, who have been created in the image of God, are also capable of loving this way, even though we never seem to get very good at it. Chesed is love without regard to shifting circumstances, hormones, emotional states, and personal convenience. This is the kind of love with which God so loved the world. All our scriptural witnesses, seconded by an impressive array of outside observers, agree that venturing and practicing this kind of love is an absolutely necessary condition of life. Finally, the government of God's anointed King David reflects this absolutely necessary condition of life. What does David's love for Mephibosheth mean in the Bible? And what might it mean for Community Mennonite Church? Well, for our church, I think it means that we could become more creative in extending God's love beyond ourselves as a church body. It's not hard to find persons who need love. But I think institutional churches like ours need to often reorient ourselves toward the gospel of God's love so that we're not little by little thrown off course. That's part of the reason that CMC is introducing a vision process for our congregation. You'll get some materials about that in an email tomorrow, and there are copies on the back table. But among some of the things we'll be discussing, one of the missional character traits that Mennonite Church USA seeks in congregations is that people within the community hold themselves accountable to one another in love. What does this look like? Well, at the least, substantial time is spent with one another, building trust and holding ourselves accountable to one another in love. But before we apply this story of God's love to our context, I'll share a bit more about the biblical context because I think through it we'll get a glimpse of ourselves at a few points. Mephibosheth was King Saul's grandson. He wasn't a nobody. He was from Israel's first royal family, but he was completely stripped of these privileges. The backstory on Mephibosheth is that when he was 5 years old, running, climbing, wandering, and dancing, as privileged, typical five-year-olds do, the world as he knew it ended abruptly. His grandfather, King Saul, and his father, Jonathan, were killed in battle on the same day. And when news reached the royal home in Jerusalem, panic broke out. The remaining members of the household, fearing the new regime's arrival in Jerusalem, fled to Lodabar. And the boy, Mephibosheth, was swept into his nanny's arms. In the chaos of their escape, she tripped and dropped him. He was permanently disabled. Both ankles were broken. And Mephibosheth never walked again. What suffering and loss at such a young age. Perhaps some of us here had traumatic childhoods. Mephibosheth grew up fatherless. He was a secondary victim of war. He never fought himself, but he was permanently scarred by violence. His injury, though purely accidental, was an aftershock of war when one woman learned that her master, Prince Jonathan, and King Saul were dead. We don't know, but the stories Mephibosheth heard in Lodabar, perhaps from that same nanny, about the king who supplanted his family line, were likely filled with bitterness and fear and grief. The other biblical backstory, of course, is the relationship between David and Jonathan, Mephibosheth's father. For years before he became king, David had a relationship both with King Saul and the king's son, Jonathan. Now, Saul's appreciation for David turned to hostility, and six times Saul tried to kill David. Nevertheless, Jonathan was David's friend. Their relationship of faithful love is good news. It's gospel in the midst of an otherwise terrifying account of Saul's bloodthirsty attacks against David. In fact, the relationship between David and Jonathan is the best relationship David ever had. Despite the pressures around them that fueled rivalry, hatred, and violence, Jonathan and David loved each other. And it is this love between the two men that David remembers when he seeks out Mephibosheth. Here's the covenant Jonathan made with him back when David was a youth and running from Saul's fury. "If I am still alive, show me the faithful love of Yahweh. But if I die, never cut off your faithful love from my family." Sometimes in the midst of all that we're doing, we stop and get reoriented to what matters most. We remember God's love and the people who have loved us well. That's what happens to David in this chapter. That happened to me last week. My friend Ruth died. I had seen her a couple of times in the last 3 years. Her struggle with cancer was fierce. She was fighting to stay alive for her two young children, for her husband, for her ministry with cancer survivors. Ruth and I lived in a Mennonite voluntary service household when she was 27 and I was 20. She was kind of the mother hen of our MVS unit. She gave me my copy of the More with Less cookbook for my 21st birthday, and she taught me to bake bread. Over this past week, amidst my grief and good memories, I canceled some appointments because I felt emotionally fragile. I found myself asking some basic spiritual questions all over again. What does God's love mean for our world, for our lives and deaths? How can I participate in God's love? 2 Samuel 9 is one of those times in David's life when he stopped to consider what mattered most. And he remembered this long ago love for Jonathan. Love that saved his life. Love that was built on a covenant and a faithful friendship. And this time, when he remembered that, he didn't write a psalm. David found someone he could love. Many of us are building our lives, doing our work, being families, supporting others, and the last thing we want is grief or tragedy to force us to stop and ask all over again the deep spiritual questions of human life. But even when life is humming along and we're not distracted by aches for meaning, weekly worship gives us pause. It causes us to stop and wonder again, what really matters? If the faithful love of God is the heart of it all, and I believe that it is, then we're here today to receive this gospel, this good news that God loves us and goes to great lengths for us, as David did for Mephibosheth. If the faithful love of God is at the heart of it all, and the Bible tells us so, then we stop. We pause today to reorient our lives toward love, both receiving it and sharing it. What if the true king turned toward the least in his kingdom with love? Love even in the face of death. Love even for an enemy. Here in the Old Testament is an image of the kingdom of God proclaimed and lived by Jesus Christ. If God's good news of love can be shared through ancient Israel's detour into nation building and kingship, and even the story of warrior King David, then God can tell this story of love through us as well. Currently, the broader church to which Community Mennonite belongs is facing a great deal of turbulence. There are structural realignments happening because of different views of sexuality, biblical interpretation, and polity. Polity, that's how we're organized. And of course, our anxieties and our fears play into this as well. I spent 3 days this week with the pastors and credentialed leaders of Virginia Mennonite Conference in a consultation on same-gender relationships. Pastors Dana and Jason were also there, Dorothy Jean Weaver, Brian Martin Burkholder, Ray Gingrich. There may have been other CMCers. We have a lot of credentialed folks in this congregation. We don't all agree on whether same-gender relationships can reflect the covenant love of God in Christ, as we believe marriage between opposite genders can. But reading 1 and 2 Samuel, I can't help but see the relationship between Jonathan and David as a potential indicator, even for our times. But more importantly, hearing the gospel in the Old Testament, I wonder whether, like David's decision, the policies of church governance might turn toward the exiled members of our community and offer them a standing invitation to the Lord's table. More than one presenter during the consultation indicated that an antidote to our current systemic turbulence in the wider church is mission. Our good news in the Old Testament this morning speaks to this as well. Here in Rockingham County, we can turn toward the least in the community. Like David, we can offer a home, whether for local homeless folks seeking shelter through open doors, or newly arriving refugees and immigrants. We can learn the names of persons in need in our own neighborhoods and city. We can offer direct assistance to persons who have disabilities, as well as create justice for those without economic opportunity or mobility. The call for hospitality, a standing invitation to a community of faithful love, is central to the church's mission. In turbulent times, God speaks to us in worship so that we stop and reorient ourselves to the faithful love that is intended to reach us, touch us, move through us, and even move through our clumsy church structures. May it be so for us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.